Hello and welcome to episode 149 of Duelist Community Raw. I don't have anything to say for this intro right now. We talked about a lot of fun stuff in here at Scale of Consciousness as I go into something. That's fucking funny, dude. That's it. That's what I got.
And that's how simple it is. I got nothing to talk about except blah, 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 because it's there if you just let it come out. But isn't it funny that we immediately assume we have nothing just because of that giant gap that's there, not realizing that in that gap is infinite potential? It's just our assumption of the gap. That said, I have to tell you, this is something I've recognized recently as you have been mixing up the hello at the beginning. I'm immediately getting different mental images of different characters in different scenes. Today, for some reason, I had kind of a playful slash creepy prospector just coming out of a mine going, hello, as you were walking up to the mine wondering, what the hell is this all about? All of a sudden, there's this suspicious prospector. And I don't know why he's a prospector, but I see him with like a big bushy mustache and like an old prospector's hat, you know, maybe a lantern. Who knows? But that was the image that came to me. And that was a lot of fun for me. And that is exactly how easy it is to enjoy your existence.
And I appreciate the sharing of that imagery right now. And with all that said, I hope you enjoy this live stream that is Duelist Community Raw. Episode 149.
Oh, it is Thursday morning, and I just started that off like I was waking up to a very, very happy surprise. Ah, and it's because I am in a good mood this morning. I am stoked for a couple reasons. The tone has changed on Dualistic Unity lately. I've really enjoyed that. You know, it's kind of like the last 2 years have been the run-up to a peak on a psychedelic trip, where you're going through all your shit that's between you and the state of relaxation that you are going to be in when you let go of all your shit. And so all of a sudden, I feel like we've been doing this climb and little plateaus here and there, breaks, so on and so forth. But it's like all of a sudden, we've just hit a plateau, like a nice, clear plateau where all of a sudden, it doesn't have that feeling like we're trying to get somewhere. Or rather, Andrew doesn't have that feeling like he's trying to get somewhere. And what's funny is that I don't have that feeling that Andrew's trying to get somewhere. And so one has to wonder, is that me or him or both? I always wonder about that shit. I really do. Like, because there's no separation. It's all conceptual, right? Like, it's just by virtue of how we're trying to make sense of things. Like, I'll throw this one out at you too, and then we'll get on with the show. Currently in my life, my daughter plays in Fidelium, which we've talked about before, playing quite literally my favorite type of music. Violin has always been my favorite instrument since I was very, very young. There were stories I was told as a kid of whenever my mom, who was pregnant with me at the time, would go anywhere near violin music, they could feel me and see me pushing up against her stomach trying to hear it. I've always resonated with violin. It's always been meaningful to me. It's always touched me right down to my soul. Now I'm at a point in my life where I walk around my house in a day and I hear it being practiced by my daughter, who has worked for over half her life to become as adept as she is. And when she's not practicing at home, I'm hearing her play with Fidelium. And there's just so much of this music in my life. And so it's heavenly to me. But it dawned on me. Is it heavenly because I've always enjoyed it all the way back to the beginning of my life? Or have I always enjoyed it because I felt that this was coming and how meaningful it would be? And this is the whole point. We think time only works in one direction, but we don't know that. And physics doesn't back that up at all. Science doesn't back that up at all. They don't know why time only goes in one direction, because it can technically go in both. They don't understand why we can only recall the past and not see the future. But I think we can. I think we do see the future. I think that when we are seeing a new idea, a new invention, a vision of something, we are seeing a possible future. And what are we doing other than reaching into that future and pulling it into the present when we act on that vision?
That's a fantastic question.
because where do ideas come from? All of a sudden something will just hit you. And the more you're expressing things, the more you're expressing yourself, the more things open up, and especially the less you're thinking about yourself, the more you take in, the more you see. And so, because anything we've done with Dualistic Unity, anything that, you know, any type of video either of us have posted, I've, you know, had different ideas with things throughout my life. And like, it makes sense that it's just seeing the future. It makes sense that it's just, and then it's on you to do it and to have it play out, and not know necessarily, but just have a sense, because things don't have a directional component. I've always wondered, just from like a sort of, I don't know, more metacognition or meta level about my life in different ways, and like why certain things play out the way I do, why I have certain tendencies to do certain things, why, you know, there's sort of, it's not that I've never felt like I fit in, like there have been things that I have fit in to, but it's always been like, I've never really felt like I've been genuinely myself, like throughout my life. And, you know, starting from a young age, because it's not that we're not, but it's not coming from us so much. Like, we're taking in a lot of factors in our environment in order to figure out, instead of being the environment and putting things out. And there's like a shift in that, it seems like. And it's really like, there's so many things that could keep you doing that throughout your life, just taking in the environment and being pushed and pulled nonstop by it, as opposed to being the pusher and the puller, but it's not from a sense of yourself and how you're doing, and a sense of like self-importance. And I was on a little wild goose chase getting my gaming remote this morning, finding that, and it was a fun walk. And part of me was like, you know, wanted to keep just like start keeping some insights to myself and actually take them in. But it does factor in a little bit to this, just how much I've always kept happening, like even leaving my apartment, like seeing how I look in the mirror before I leave. It's like kind of always just to check in the morning, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And like, I left my apartment without doing that and didn't know. It was like uncertain. Oh, I'm sure you do that all the time. Yeah. But like, I haven't. And like, it was kind of like, what the fuck? Because there's a sense of like, I want to know how I look though. And there's like a pull to it. And the whole time on my walk, like I didn't. And it was like, you know, sort of a more of an inverted sensation. It was just like flooding me with all these things about how.
That's fucking awesome. I just want to say, that's fucking awesome. Glad that you did that, because that's the first of many.
And that's what it feels. It's like a new sort of perspective on things, that me thinking about how I look or maintaining that even is trying to have a sense of control, but it's just how I want myself to look. There's no guarantee of anything. And it's, again, based on the environment, how I, quote unquote, should look in order to what? To fit in?
And procreate.
Oh man, I've always wondered about that too, because like, I've never known, like, had any sort of draws to fucking, I don't know, like, even be in like be a, like I did when I was younger, like being a dad or whatever. And like, who knows? You never know about anything. But like, yeah, I guess that's definitely the case. But, and relationships, if it is, it's like I'm trying to manipulate that person. And like so much goddamn manipulation all over the place to satisfy a need that's stemming from focusing all my attention on myself. Like, even just knowing how you look and maintaining how you look is a huge indicator that you're focused on yourself.
Yeah, because you're not how you look. Right? But that's it. When you're focused on yourself, you'll settle for the superficial appearance because you're just trying to feel a certain way about yourself. So you're always trying to settle on something. And so if you look in the mirror, you're like, aha, I like the way I look. Other people should like the way I look. Bam, never dawns on you. You're not the way you look. And this is something that always used to get me. And this is an argument that I had for years after the, when I stopped giving a fuck about it. You know, that idea that, you know, clothes make the man. You know, that if you're not dressing to a certain standard, you're not showing respect for those around you. I have heard all of this shit. But at the end of the day, how many well-dressed people have you been attracted to who ended up being toxic assholes? Think about that. Really take that shit in, because there's a lot. And that's the whole point, is that they've got you with the superficial. They've got you with the paint job on the car. The fact that underneath the hood of the car is a fucking melon is irrelevant, right? Because you're dazzled by the look of the car. And that's the whole thing. Like, this is the first, I'll be honest with you, because I've been single now for like 7-8 months. If somebody is talking to me and they're showing interest, I'm really watching how much they're trying to impress me with how they look, as opposed to just talking to me as a person. Right? Because that's showing you a lot of what they rely on, what they're looking for, what they're going to lean on because of its impact on you. Because that's all very true. That's built into biologically. You know, like we see something we're attracted to and our eyes, you know, widen, our heartbeat starts to pick up, like all that stuff. You know, and if you know that and you play in that realm enough, you start to learn how to use it. You start to learn how to use it to your advantage, to once again, to fit in, to get what you want, to be happy, so on and so forth. Right? But if you're looking for any degree of depth in your life, that depth has to come from you. Which means that you have to be willing for people to look at you and go, well, why aren't you living up to the way I'd like you to look? And you're like, why do you need me to? You know, and all you're doing there is dodging bullets every single time. Every single time, because otherwise it's going to be somebody who's going to want you to go backwards in your trajectory. Because you're letting go of something that they're not willing to let go of yet. And it's good to be honest about that. It really is. You know, but it's an opportunity to recognize your depth, that you are not your hair, that you are not what you wear. You are not, you know, the type of person you envision yourself to be. You're whoever the fuck you want to be. You know, and if you go out into the street and you haven't done your hair and you're wearing a fucking house coat and slippers and you run across somebody and they don't want to talk to you because of that, that person's probably a dick. You know, unless you're walking around ranting at the top of your lung, the end is nigh. I mean, that's a little different. When you're in a house coat and slippers and you're shouting about the world ending and carrying a picket sign, different conversation. But if you're just going to the grocery store, and I know I've done this, just walk down to the grocery store. Don't have to get out of your PJs. You don't. And if somebody's not going to talk to you for that, you don't want to talk to that person. You want to talk to the person who's just like, that's a damn good idea. Why didn't that dawn on me? That's a good point. That's a great point. You want a coffee? You know, and then you just shoot the shit. Because why the fuck not? But there are considerations for how you dress and how you look. Straight up. And I'll admit that, because we live in a world where that shit's part of what we agree to. Like, you get a job, for example, whether you realize it or not, somewhere in that contract, it says that you have to abide by their fucking standards. That's it. That's the hook. You know, and to be able to go in there and go, well, no, I should be able to dress the way I want. You signed a contract. You know, and that is unfortunately the point. They've got a point. They've got a point. You agreed to it. That's kind of the standard with which we live by. It's just that a lot of us don't look at it that way. We don't read the contracts, things like that. Or we settle for jobs where we have to give up those rights and then we bitch about it later. So it's just food for thought. You know, if you're going to go to work and you're going to abide by the contract, sure, dress the way they want you to dress. Rest of the time, dress the way you want to dress. That said, though, where are the fuzzy lines of that contract? Like, when they're like, you must wear at least, you know, this much in terms of like a skirt length, or you must wear these kind of pants, no jeans, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of other kinds of pants. You know, you can fudge with that a little bit and cause them to question their own goddamn lines in the process. It's been a fun rant.
Oh, yeah, because you can go on the side of it, too, like, you know, oh, society, like, fuck this, and, like, purposely try to look crazy. Like, my hair right now, I had a winter hat on, took it off, sat down. I was like, I moved a couple things because it was, like, all over on one side. Like, I'm not saying I'm like, oh, never even do. So, but, like, oh, dude, the fucking superficial, like mirage we can put on, and how, oh my God, like the manipulation factor is hitting hard. And like, I'll be the first to admit, I definitely tried to do that and like was masking a bit of a fucking needy monster underneath.
We all do, buddy.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Just the amount that, like, the superficiality, because you've talked about the superficiality. And shout out to our GoFundMe for retreat tickets. If you would like to pitch a couple dollars, $5 even, would mean a lot. Help someone who cannot afford to go to a dualist community retreat to be able to make it to one and have a great ass time. Someone deserving, for sure. So
for sure. And if you don't see the QR code on the screen because you're listening to this after, go to dualisticunity.com/donate.
So yeah, the fucking, because you've talked about like the superficiality of the world society, like when I've, as I've been more superficial throughout my life, extremely superficial in a lot of ways. And it's hitting me how much just, oh God, because there's no right or wrong way to live, period, end of story. But there are consequences to what you focus your attention on. If your attention is focused on you, what you want, how you want to be perceived, how you want to focus, your thoughts are going to reflect that. If you aren't so focused on yourself, if you aren't, you know, like, imagine going a week not looking in the mirror, not checking in on how you're doing, not really, like, it's interesting too, because someone would may think of that as like, oh, you're not taking care of yourself. You actually take more care of yourself when you're not focused on that, because it can become superficial for yourself too. Like on this walk, I straight up was feeling parts of my body that I hadn't felt, because I wasn't thinking about how I looked. There wasn't like not like a hesitation or a degree of focus on that, like some degree of focus. And I was able to feel my body a little bit more. Like I haven't been nearly as hungry as I used to get in the past. And like, part of that is like, you know, the weightlifting stuff, but in general, even like those hunger pangs, like I can go a while because it's not a focus, and it's not like I stick to some routine of when to eat. It's like, oh, feeling a little bit, you know, depleted right now, gonna eat some stuff, gonna grab an apple, gonna do this, do that, instead of this sort of rigid, like, based on time. Because for me, there's been a number of things, like, and so like it was hitting, and yeah, like I was getting flooded with a lot of stuff on this walk, but like the start of my content stuff, it was very much like a jump into feeling better about myself in a lot of ways. But again, it's not like there's a right or a wrong. There was just consequences along the way. And a lot of it, you know, led me to this right now and gained context for different things. And so, you know, like the initial sort of inclination I had was during COVID. It's like, this is before I started doing content. I was like, not a whole lot going on. Like, work isn't super busy right now. Something to do. And I chose try and lose 10 pounds. That was just what hit me. That was my focus. Call it superficial, call it whatever you want. That's what it was. And so I learned how to do that more easily. Like, I started out just eating less, and then I came across like high volume stuff so I could remain full. That got me into some fitness YouTubers that then one of them posted this vlog that was super, like, he had a lot of followers, but it wasn't like this whole sort of like thing. It wasn't like a big production. It was just on his phone, super low cost, low budget, on his iPhone doing that. And I was like, and then it hit me like, hold on, I could do that. And so I made the first piece of content I ever made was a YouTube video, just like a very basic day in the life, turned into TikTok, turned into, you know, not focusing on that so much, focusing on other things, then started to think about myself differently and differently and differently and shifting and shifting and shifting. And so even though, yes, it initiated with a superficial focus, that's where I was at. And it was like, because you can't take 10 steps at once, but it does, like, your focus. It's not that, you know, it is that you can do anything you want, but there are immediate repercussions based on how focused on yourself that is, or not focused on yourself, or not focused on what it means about you, or seeing, you know, yourself as reality versus yourself as individual separate whose value can go up and down. And so, yeah, like it's just like an immediate sort of feedback thing, depending on that focus, including something like, you know, just looking in the mirror, checking in, trying to do that, or yeah, just buying into any sort of focus on yourself. Your thoughts are going to reflect that in all the different ways. You're all good. Yeah, your connection just went to that little yellow thing real quick.
Yeah, no, I'm doing okay. It's just I'm trying to get something that we can share with our audience here, because this goes in line a lot with what we were talking about previously. Just one second, I will upload this video, or not a video, this image, because we've talked about it previously, but we've never actually shown it on the screen, and figured now that we've figured out how to do that, why not? Okay, so here we go. Hawkins chart. So this is Hawkins' chart of consciousness. Now, everybody looks at this as charts of consciousness, but as I've said to you before, I look at it as a map of momentum. See, when you're looking at the different levels of quote-unquote awareness or consciousness, what you're really looking at is potential energy, right? And so way down on the chart, you'll notice that fear is lower than desire when it comes to energy. And I always found that really interesting, because what's the big difference between the two? One's running away, one's running towards. Right? And there's a difference in direction. Whereas everything below fear is running deeper and deeper and deeper into your self-image, right? At desire, it becomes trying to do something with that self-image. Not just let it pummel you, but actually try to, like, manipulate it through desire. If I get what I want, it'll make me happy. So now you're starting to move forward. And you're starting to actually get some momentum. And with that momentum, you can eventually get to anger, which is the recognition that you're not always going to get what you want. And more importantly, when you do get what you want, it's not always going to be what you want. It's not always going to make you happy. A lot of frustration goes with that, right? A lot. Because then we have to get over this idea that getting what we want is going to make us happy. You know, and we have to get over the idea that you know, our energy, or rather our value, is determined by getting our desire all the time. And in that anger, we stop focusing so much on our desire, and we start focusing more on what we're doing. We're pissed off. I'm going to make this fucking work. I'm going to do what I need to do. Fuck this noise. I don't need to worry about that. I'm going to keep driving forward. And things start to work out. All of a sudden, we start to succeed in certain things because we're pushing ourselves in a certain direction with a certain amount of force. And then all of a sudden, we start to achieve the things that we were desiring to begin with. And then we start to take pride in ourselves. And all of that is momentum. All of that is energy. But at pride, you can actually stagnate. You can go, look at all of my achievements. I am now awesome, right? And lose your momentum, right? Or you can lose your achievements. And then all of a sudden, you're left with no value at all again, right? Or the achievements start to mean nothing to you, or they don't mean anything to anybody else, and they start to lose value again. And you end up back in the cycle. Or you can let it all go and just accept that life is moving forward. It's not about reward or punishment. It's not about you being more or less. It's just about the steady procession of you going through existence, because that's what you are. And that's where everything changes, is at that line of courage. Because at that line of courage, it stops being about you being more. And it starts being about you being. Right? Your relationship with yourself now. And that's why it starts to change into neutrality. And that neutrality then becomes willingness, right? Because after courage, you're like, I'm just going to do it. Fine. This is life. I don't need the carrot or the stick. I'm just going to move forward. And that's not a great feeling, frankly. I mean, as much as it is, it's a very freeing feeling. It's also a very much, you know, well, time to roll up my sleeves and get to fucking work feeling. That's what it feels like. But then you start to hit neutrality, which is, okay, so maybe it's not work if I'm not so resistant to it. You know, maybe these things aren't as bad as I thought they were because I'm not taking them so seriously. You know, maybe those people aren't evil because I'm not suddenly thinking of myself as good. And so you start to discover this middle ground, this neutrality. And you see what's interesting here is that your potential energy goes from moving forward to widening, to expanding your presence here and now. Because that's what's really happening at neutrality, is that you are starting to settle into where you are. After neutrality comes willingness, because if you realize everything's just kind of what it is, then why not get in there? Right? Why not do your thing? Why not live your life? Why not live for you? There's your willingness, right? And after willingness, then comes acceptance. You have to give yourself permission to be yourself. You can, before you can accept who you are. Right? And that's a big journey. And so we get through acceptance and all of a sudden we're more and more present here, but we're also more and more present in everything we do because we're not so lost in desire and fear and judgment and all that other shit. It's not there. It's not taking up that energy. So all of a sudden we have more potential energy. There's more possibilities in every situation we're in simply by virtue of the fact that we're so acceptant of what's happening, that we can actually interact with it without being in conflict with it, without creating a division. And after acceptance comes reason. And this is usually the level where we look at like people like Einstein. You know, people who are actually able to see what it is, right? To such a degree that we go, holy Christ, those people are smart. And that would be the next sticking point, which is why if you look at that chart, there's a line just before courage and a line just after reason. And it's because reason is the next hardest one to let go of. Outside of pride, because it's just another form of pride, isn't it? So pride comes full circle. The ego manifests once again, trying to make you feel better. And when you recognize that and you let it go, love for yourself and thus everything else, because the division stops meaning anything. And that leads to joy and peace and what everybody quote unquote calls enlightenment, which is just an extreme state of being without conflict. But all that they're trying to describe in this chart is momentum. But if you look at this chart, you will look at everything that you've ever been through in your life. It's great. And what I love about this chart is that Hawkins even provides like the accompanying emotional state, the view of life, the view of God, and the part of the process that you're in, which is dope. It's a fantastic chart. But I see this chart in spiritual communities all the time, and it is abused like nothing else. Like, look, he's talking about frequency. He's talking about energy. No, yes and no. But he's also talking about a fluctuating mentality that changes from moment to moment each and every day according to what you're invested in. It's not just, you know, where are you on the chart? It's a fluctuating thing. It's an average, if you want to look at it that way, right? But that doesn't mean as soon as a trigger comes up that you're not going to go pounding down to shame. And does that mean that you're backsliding? No, it just means that you weren't aware of that part of your existence and where you sat in that spectrum. But this is why I've enjoyed that chart for a very long time, because it really is just, when you take the nonsense out of it, he's really just talking about the emotional dominoes. You know, if you follow it in one direction, you go this way. If you follow it in the other direction, you go farther down, and the weight gets more difficult to deal with.
Ooh, we definitely have to clip that last 5 minutes there, because holy shit, as you were talking through it, I was like, part of me feels like, just in my own experience, like, this has almost been my process through, I was on full screen, through my, like, social media in a lot of ways. Do you mind throwing that back up there? Or actually, I can put it on. Oh, I tried to. So, like, the fear was before jumping in. But then as you were talking, like, I could see points of my day, you know, that all of these are experienced from like the whole thing. And so it's fucking hilarious that people think like, I'm now within acceptance and I spend my entire day. It's like, I think I maybe experienced just about everything on this morning in the span of 30 minutes. Like, it's the, and so the average, the perspective of it being an average makes a lot of sense, because and like the jumps, because I think, I don't know, it seems in a lot of ways like egotistically, I mean, yeah, like right before both of those lines, I guess there's points, but you know, pride is a big one, like being proud of what I've done, of what I've accomplished. And then it creates, it's sort of like, that's the comfort zone right there. Like, pride is the comfort zone. Like, I feel good about what I've done. I feel good about what I've accomplished, what I've achieved in my life to this point. I'm kind of set. And there's no reason to jump into anything. There's no reason to be courageous, because that makes me uncomfortable. And I'm comfortable now, and I feel good about things, and I think about myself positively. And like, yeah, and it's all focused on yourself. And it's like, even if you're feeling good about things, it's still relative to everyone else. You're measuring yourself. There's still all the shit under the surface, all your stuff under the surface, the reasons, all of the reasons that you're not jumping in to things, all of the self-doubt, all of those things that you tell yourself. And so it's like, we just avoid those experiences, those opportunities to jump in. And it's right before that first line. But then as you go, it's like, oh man, that was a great explanation of this chart. And I can see how people get so focused on being in one point, which is funny, but you can fluctuate. And it's like a bell curve, maybe, that you can slide up and down based on what you focus on. And, you know, as you don't focus on yourself quite so much, those almost like that whole red part, it's not that it goes away. It's always there in potential when you start focusing on yourself, when you start doing things for yourself, doing, you know, trying to have control. Even like a lot of it is illusion of control, is that, you know, first whole section, like I'm even getting up to, I'm proud of myself. I can do something about this. It means something about me. And so it's like a fluctuation of that sense of control, that false sense of certainty, being sure of things. Cause even pride isn't something that's a certainty. It's just within yourself. It's just how you feel like you're doing about things. You can be proud of, or say like, oh, I'm proud of you to another person. But even that's like reflective of yourself in a lot of ways, because you think that you are like above. So you're looking down on someone if you say that you're not exactly. Like, I'm not saying anyone who's ever said I'm proud of you to someone is like looking down in a sense, but there can be that perspective that like I am at a higher point, and so I look down and say that I'm proud, as opposed to it just being, because you could say I'm proud of you is just recognition for like
respect. Yeah,
straight up, like, for sure. But yeah, like this whole thing. So like for myself, I can very much, yeah, that fucking orange section up to Pride has been like kind of social media for me in a lot of ways, like going from being afraid to going to wanting to do something to getting frustrated, because there was all the frustration still within myself. And there's, you know, a good chunk of my content has a very, you know, an edge to it. And then feeling good about like what I had felt like I accomplished in that, feeling good about myself. And then, but it's kind of within this, you know, whirlpool that, you know, courage is jumping through that almost. Just
doing it because. And that's where a lot of what you've been doing lately, you know, is just doing it because, you know, this is what I do. This is kind of, you know, I do it. I enjoy it. Why the fuck not? You know, it adds to other things that I do in my life. And there's that neutrality, right? Where you're like, I could be doing anything. Why not this? Right. And it changes. You know, that's the whole point. Why not this? But that means switching it up too, having the willingness to, you know, get outside the box, which brings us back to the gaming segment that we're going to start on Dualistic Unity, where we're just fucking around playing. Likewise on Wednesdays, we jump into the Discord lounge now and we play chess. Apparently we did that yesterday. That was a lot of fun, but that's the point, is that now you're at a point where you're not trying to be anything. So just be, you know, and express that. That's courage. You know, recognizing it's for you, that's acceptance and willingness, you know, and then just watching the ripples, that's reason, you know, without needing to control them. And then beyond that comes love, which is the acceptance that you're spending eternity with everyone. You know, we're all in this together. You know, and that is the reality of love. It's what remains. It's not an action. It's not you trying to do something for your purpose or to save anyone or blah, blah, blah. It's what remains when you're at peace. And that's all this chart is ever trying to communicate. It's all this chart has ever been trying to communicate. It's the reason that Hawkins wrote so many fucking books about this chart. Like, lots. There's lots. Right? And it's just because everybody wants to oversimplify it. Everybody wants to make it down to an instruction manual. And it's not like Hawkins himself didn't start looking at it that way towards the end. But the fact is, if you look at this for what it is, it's fascinating, especially given that this entire chart was created using muscle testing, meaning they asked the body yes or no questions. On a scale of 0 to 1,000, anger is higher than fear. Yes or no? And that's how they created a logarithmic chart. Because again, this is not, you know, a linear chart. Like, when you're looking at energy levels, you need to understand that 2 is way higher than 1, right? Like 201 is logarithmically larger than 200. It's a huge chart. That's why towards the end of it, you see how fast it spikes. Like, the energy levels all of a sudden are just massive jumps, massive jumps. And it's because of that, because you are gaining that much more momentum. And again, potential energy. Hawkins went on to explain also that a single human being resonating at like 400, and again, don't use that number like it actually matters, actually balances out a large number of human beings that are resonating at 50. You know, so to expect there to be an equal balance just doesn't make any sense, because again, you're looking at the symbolism. Before we go any further, because we only have 5 minutes left, I did want to announce, we gave the ticket away that we all fundraised for on Monday in the Monday Marathon. We gave it away to somebody who, frankly, just fucking deserves it. They had submitted an entry to our video contest, and that entry was amazing. It was really good, and we were sorry that they did not win the contest, and so we're very, very grateful for the community managing to bring this person to the community, or managing to bring this person to the event. That said, I would like to show you the video that they submitted. So here we go.
There is no good or bad. There is no right or wrong way to be.
I used to think that if I just
stuck to my New Year's resolutions, stuck to my plans and goals, that I would become the best version of myself. But what is this best version of myself except this idea I've created in my head? A fictional benchmark that I'm using to judge every little thing that I do.
We're like driving into heaven right now.
It's only when I let go of how I think things ought to be, how I think I ought to be, that things start to come easier. When I can embrace the uncertainty of who I am, when I can embrace the uncertainty of life itself, and hold less tightly to my judgments and expectations, the world begins to open up.
Got it?
And suddenly I'm free to do and be whatever I want. Because there is no good or bad. There is no right.
I love that video so much.
No, I love that video.
And no, like, anyone who's ever made a video and posted on social media, like, that is a lot of work to take all of those clips, match them together. So, yeah, Lily, holy shit.
Kudos to Lily, who you can find on TikTok at LXFears. Check it out. Absolutely love that video. Thank you so much. Stoked to see you in California. That said, as Andrew mentioned earlier, we are still raising money for a second retreat ticket. If we can do it. So feel free to go to dualisticunity.com/donate or just click on the little QR code there. We've actually had people donate far beyond where we were for the first ticket. We've raised an extra, I think, $385 towards the next ticket. So we're well on our way. We're almost a quarter of the way there. Anybody who would like to help, it's going to be there, I believe, for the rest of the month. I don't know how GoFundMe works. but you have an opportunity to do so. And even if we don't raise enough for a second ticket, we are raising enough to drastically reduce the price of another ticket for someone else who can use it for sure. So thank you so much. Andrew, man, this has been a fun episode. A lot to talk about. It's funny just because I feel like you're not trying to get anywhere anymore. And so there's like a lot more we can talk about.
Yeah. And that feeling of like, there's still the, I'm not going to lie. There's still like, there's gotta be something. And it's like, whatever you're doing, whatever you're focused on, but it's jarring. It's absolutely jarring. And I like, it's fucking insane, honestly, that we have like whatever this is going on. And like, you know, looking back, cause I'll look back at a video from a year ago and like not know who that is. Like I cannot express how different I feel and yet how the same I feel at times too, and how much it's like the fluctuations can be that. But like, oh my God, the thought of even just going on a walk and taking everything in, like the amount of things I felt like I took in walking for on a 30-minute walk this morning, like, it's mind-blowing how much, like, just being focused on yourself and, like, how things are doing. Like, it's a cloud. It's a fog. And there's so many things going on. It's like, you know, all of the things that our brains are taking in at all times, like, you just are aware of more of that. And that's all it is. Like, we were talking on the High and Empowered episode yesterday. It's not like a right or a wrong. There is no should or shouldn't. It's just, how many considerations are you taking in? How much are you taking in? Where is your priority? Where does that lie? And so it's an expansion from here. And it's like, you know, are you in this little tubular thing, or is that not there anymore? And that's going to determine a lot about your life.
Yep. This has been great. I'm really digging like the last week and a half, you know, especially, well, since Virginia Beach. It's always like that though. After retreats, we come out the other side, we're just like, oh, all right, so let's jam about this. Let's shoot the shit, because there's a lot of stuff that suddenly became very clear. And before I get wrapped back up in myself, I'd like to discuss it. So this has been a lot of fun, because of course you go through the cycle and that just makes it easier to not get so caught up in yourself. In the next cycle, it really does become a self-refining process, which is another thing that Hawkins says that in his books, is that towards, you know, the midpoint to the higher end of that chart, you really can't help yourself anymore. You know, and it's just because you're just so disillusioned with all of the illusions. You know, you've just done it so much, you're just like, why? Why would I do that? You know, and you recognize exactly how much you are as a result of just doing that over and over and over again, to the point where empathy for other people is never empathy for other people. And you recognize that more and more as it becomes you, because you'll notice that the very top of that chart where it says God view, it says self. Because that's the top of that chart. And he's the only motherfucker who ever talks about it that way. So it's definitely a good read. Power versus Force. If you can read it, check it out. It's a thick read. It's a very technical read in some ways. It's dry. It's really dry. But if you can get through the book, he discusses the research. He discusses the kinesiology, the muscle testing, how it was all done, the thymus thump, what that's all about. There's a lot that went into this research over tens of thousands of people over years and years and years to create this fucking chart. It's amazing. After you read Power versus Force, there is a series of follow-up books that talks about the chart in more detail. They actually go into each and every level and talk about what it is they're communicating there. Well worth the read if you would like to check into it, but do so with a grain of salt. Hawkins himself got a little bit high on himself towards, you know, in doing all of this research. He really started like boosting himself up a little bit more than I was comfortable with reading. But the research is solid. The chart is solid. Take what you can from it. That's it. We're at the end of today's episode. We're going to continue on Patreon. It's a tier 2 call today, which I'm sure is going to be fun. And then we're going to explore the possibility of live streaming this afternoon and possibly playing a video game.
Fuck yeah. I'm excited for it. Bye, everyone.